Well, good morning, everyone. This is Gail and Gregory Hogue here.
Yes.
And we'll be hosting the call while Daniel is working with Masajati this weekend. And we are having a wonderful snowstorm, another one here. So it's kind of a time of whiteness. And so to begin with today, what I'd like to talk about is consciousness, because that's what really is relating to what we're doing here in today's statement. So here's a question. Does consciousness actually evolve, or do we instead evolve into frequencies that give us higher access into source consciousness? The frequencies we operate at are constantly modulating and changing as we integrate experiences, thoughts, intentions, and emotions. We feed the stimuli, these experiences, into a toroidal vortex of sorts that attracts a stream of new experiences. In other words, our consciousness is continuously mirroring back to us what we call life. Yet it is just a pure reflection of consciousness. And the beautiful part of this scenario is that there is no better way to learn and evolve and experience the creative essence. So when you work with these tools, like the Heart Companion, iConnect, and other sacred geometries that I know a number of you are working with, they help us see holistically. So in a more objective space, we can learn and appreciate the play of spirit within. It is desirable to lighten up and have fun with the process. In a flash of awareness, everything can appear in a new light. And this is the joy of embodying spirit in the human existence. So, let's get started with our little meditation. Hold your Heart Companion or iConnect in your hands. And let your body become more relaxed and lighter, allowing any tension to be easily released. You've been rushing like I have this morning, just let it go. Dispel any need to know, any confusions that exist in your mind, body, and spirit. Banish them. And as you become more relaxed, give yourself the space to be free, disengaged from any feelings or messages that tell you how things ought to be or how they should appear. Give yourself the gift of allowing your spirit to surprise you with the reflections of the heart, and watch for those all day. Enjoy it. Have fun and experience what is coming into your life with gratitude and pleasure. There are no right ways or wrong ways. Now take the Heart Companion and place it at the heart center. You are remembering who you are. The divine connections are being reassembled into patterns that enhance the flow of love, abundance, and service for the good of all. And in that spirit, let's take a deep cleansing breath. And on the out-breath, as you release the air, allow the sound VAM to resonate through you. And let's do it together. VAM. allow your body to absorb the resonance, the blessings that we're working with here, and send them out to others in the universe. And as you do this, you are immersed in gratitude. Now let's make those same sounds again three more times. And here we go. Down into your feet, allowing the flow to establish roots into Mother Earth and bless all beings and all life. So be it. Okay. So I wanted to also share with you, Greg and I were talking about this yesterday. I don't think I actually shared with you the resonance of VAM, where that came from. And recently, within the last few months, we've been working with a wonderful teacher and channel, Christine Day, who works with the Palladian Council. And she just fell in love with the iConnect and the Heart Companion. And when we got together on Skype, she said, I want to do a little process with you because I found that there's a particular tone that the Palladians had given to her that resonates with and activates the Heart Companion. And so she started to make this tone VAM. And when she did it, it just sent resonations and energy just up and down my whole body. And we realized at that point how powerful that energy is. So you can use it whenever you want. And if you're in a place where you want to become centered, you know, that is a great, great activation and way to come back into the center of your being, the core of your being.
You know, another thing that I don't know if we explain this or, but what we always do is I put my right hand over my iConnect as I'm wearing it, or excuse me, my Heart Companion on my heart, and your right hand contains the blueprint, the cosmic blueprint of who you are. And so when you put that center chakra of your right hand over your Heart Companion, as it's on your chest, and then the resonance of your chest holding that over, it takes you into the cosmic connection of who you are, that higher aspect of home. And that's why home really does have that M sound in it. The Om that we're familiar with is part of what's happening with Mom, and what's going on with this Vam is really similar in taking us into a bigger connection. So it feels good.
Good. I just noticed that there's a question that came in on the web, and it's, could you repeat the question part about consciousness in the beginning when you started? So what I asked was, does consciousness actually evolve? Because we all talk about evolving our consciousness. Or do we instead evolve into frequencies that give us higher access into source consciousness? And that really goes along with today's statement, which is, through my consciousness of my source self, the element of spirit within as my source, I draw into my mind and feeling nature the very essence of source. This essence is my supply. Thus, my consciousness of the presence of source within me is my supply. So as I was thinking about that in preparation, I thought about, you know, what we're really doing is we are, you know, everything is energy. And so I looked at that from the perspective of what is the door into higher consciousness? And it is moving into these higher frequencies so that we can access that source consciousness, not just in our mind, but in as our supply, as that which we are, all that is. And so it's an interesting thought that kind of took me into a place where it triggered some feelings about finding the simple, direct ways. You know, we work with these tools because they source us into these frequencies. You know, when we do our activations of these products, those frequencies are embedded. When we do an elaborate process of programming, and I don't really like the word programming, but it's like the completion of the products, and the Heart Companion and the iConnect go into our chamber so that they are reunited with certain frequencies that they will be able to carry for you. And then when you're resonating with those fields, then your energy connection enables you to really know your being as source.
You know, another thing is that we use consciousness several different ways. And when Gail was speaking, does consciousness actually evolve? She's talking about different levels of consciousness in the sense of, with a capital C, big consciousness that exists, and we become aware of that consciousness as we grow. And in today's statement, the way they're using consciousness is really more in the sense of awareness. Through my consciousness of my source self, that is, through my awareness is the way it's kind of meant. And in the end it says, thus my consciousness of the presence, that is my awareness of the presence and of source. And so it gets a little confusing using the English language or any language because it always falls so far short of the truth of what exists, which is why earlier in this whole program I talked about anything you speak or hear or say or read isn't true in the big capital T sense of truth, because it's only reflective of the truth. And so, a little tricky today because it's talking about consciousness as awareness, and now we're talking about another, what we're aware of, that source within us. So, talking about today's statement, I'm going to, you know, zero in on the consciousness of presence of source. Within me is my supply. And again, what I did, since we've gone through these ones, I now just put this statement into my awareness, and then I ask the presence of source within me, which page and paragraph should I choose? And I was given a specific page and a paragraph, but before I get into that, I just want to share with you how much more fun it is to play with life like this, not pretending to know, not pretending to have it all together, but just being open to how Source is going to work through us, what information is going to be shared in my life today. And that's how Gail and I create together. We tune in and then check each other's answers. And she says, I'm getting we should do this. And I say, okay, I get this. And then we often go until we align with, we work with this addition to one of the tools we're working on. So science thinks it's all trial and error. And you've got to use your brain to calculate what have you just done right. And in the past, when we wanted to learn what to eat, we'd watch Og, and if he ate those berries and died, we didn't eat what Og ate. But it was a different scenario. When we were in tune with our environments, plants speak to you. They tell you what to eat. They tell you how to work with them. And so it is with so much of the world. It wants to be in service and wants to work with us. And it's our opportunity to be open, to be empty to what wants to be shared. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today. You know, all great scientists, as I was talking about science and trial and error, all great scientists, artists, creators are inspired. That means inspired, the word means to be filled with the energy, the light of spirit, the light of God. And it's through connection to source within that we are all inspired. Scientists then have to sometimes spend years trying to prove what their inspiration meant or how they can prove it to others. But all of us need to find ways to listen, to ask source within, maybe working with kinesiology in pulling your fingers apart, working with a pendulum, working with a feeling in your body, working with a sound, sometimes just cultivating a knowing. You just know from the center of your being that this is your next step, what you should do. And animals learn how to be big animals by playing. All animals play when they're little. It's a way of learning, and it is always fun because it's exploratory, and it's something that excites us. So that's why we say again and again, with your heart companion, with your eye connect, play with it. Take chances with it. Leap with it. Do things. Hold it and pick foods you should eat. Pick a book you should read. A place to visit. You know, something that doesn't seem too consequential so you don't get too in your head, oh my God, am I going to do this right? Am I going to do it wrong? It's like that's the small part of us that always worries. But it's the empty part of us that allows spirit to come through. So doing this, playing, it just as an animal strengthens its connection. And we as human animals play when we're kids to learn how to be when we're big people. And so this is strengthening your connection to source by playing with it, by accepting the higher perspective and acting on it. If it's not the right perspective, you'll learn. That's what we do. We make mistakes and we learn from them. That's why Buckminster Fuller said he made a lot of mistakes, and that's why people considered him a genius. But he learned from it. A lot of us take a number of times to learn. With the heart companion, trust the feedback you get. Feel it. Ask your heart companion for clarity in choice. And work with the feelings that come through. People are continually, well, let me get into reading this right now. I think that would be what I was told for today's statement, to read this paragraph in the book, The Matter of Mind, An Explorer's Guide to the Labyrinth of the Mind, and this is Master Dwal Kool, through Kathleen Kingdom. In truth, people see the world not as it is, but as they are, or as they are conditioned by karma to see it. So that's just one sentence. I'm going to explain that a bit. Obviously, we understand, all of us, I think, by now, that the world is not really objective out there away from us, but it's our projection onto the world. It's totally us that we're seeing, and we understand that. And we're working out there with a false reality. That is, it's a reality that's relative totally to us, totally to our interpretations, our old beliefs, our projections. And when you work with the world as it is, it keeps you small. Because that's the ego mind's interpretation of reality. It keeps you stuck in an endless loop of small ego consciousness. And that's what this workshop is all about, breaking out of that smallness, breaking out of that aspect of what was and what has been for literally thousands of lifetimes for all of us. This is a field of constriction. It's not an abundant field. Now, I'm going to read the next sentence, which is, as situations arise in awareness, the field you perceive acts as a projection screen, empty of any meaning until mind so designates. Wow, that's really a lot. What that's saying is exactly what we were just talking about. We know that our projection screen, our reality, is always filled with our story. And it's what we are giving to it. It's how we designate it. It's how we choose to interpret it that determines how it's going to affect us, how we're going to change our story. So this is saying that there really is no meaning to anything in our life until we decide what that meaning is, until we designate something to it. So even the guy driving in the highway that cuts you off and flips a weird sign with his hand toward you, you might determine he isn't a very happy character or this or that, but still, we decide what's going on with that whole action, the purpose of that action. And so, now, the next sentence, let's see. The screen allows one who is able to see the interactive exchange of energies or play of karma and emptiness. So we look at this not to give us, not to say that this is totally real, but we can learn how to read this reality. We can see how energies flow. We can see how people play out karma, how we play out karma. And then it says, play out karma and emptiness. Now, that's where we're starting to get into everything we're talking about today. You can watch your reality from a higher perspective. That's what this is saying, that you can emotionally remove yourself and watch how the energies play about. And you can see what's going on with people's plays, what's going on with your play, especially when you step back to that higher perspective that the Heart Companion, the iConnect gives you. And then you can watch more clearly the reality of how you're interacting. Then it ends with emptiness, and the emptiness is mentioned because here it's really talking about essence. And now I want to read the final, I think, sentence. The karma part is what is reflected, projected from the past. We understand that. It's fed through ego mind. So karma always happens through ego mind. It hangs on to what was. It's fearful of what will be. And essence mind, now it says, however, is rooted and grounded in the reality of emptiness rather than arising appearances. And it contains the vast field of possibilities awaiting emergence. So this is powerful. It's like what we're talking about, you know, just getting into choosing today. It was like emptying myself and allowing spirit to work through me. It's only in emptiness that the incredible potential for everything that we are exists. Ego mind keeps karma running, keeps it going. It keeps forming your reality. We're in automatic, constantly reacting to people in the same ways, constantly understanding, oh, this kind of a person, when they're like that, I want to stay away from them. And it's always limiting us. It's a blocked way, an unsuccessful, an unabundant way of looking at reality. We have to break free. The Heart Companion is opening essence mind, that emptiness. which is another way of a pair of words for presence of source, as it talks about in today's statement. It contains emergence. It is your supply. It is where all possibilities await, in that emergence from the center of our being. And so, basically, everything that's been working for us or working with ego mind wants to keep us where we were. It wants to continue what it knows, what it considers safe. Because even though it's painful, ego mind can at least understand it and encompass it and know it and own it and therefore feel solid in it. But essence mind is what you don't know and can't control. It's what Gail was talking about today. It's brimming with creative possibilities. It has all your solutions. It is your supply. It is your hope. It is the only way out of where you are. And it is, as the last lines were stating, karmic ego mind has blocked all of the solutions, all of the help from source. It's constantly trying to come through. So don't trust that projection. Don't look for the answers there. Hold your eye connect. Hold your heart companion. Ask for a higher view. Ask for solutions. And be open. Relax. Lean back. Hold your right hand over your eye connect and heart companion while it is over your heart and ask for your next step. Then be empty. Be the open cup. Be the receiver that you can receive and act from your heart. And then do it again and do it again until you've taken 1,000 steps and it's the only place to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Gregory.
I get carried away.
I want to go back to something that Gregory said a little bit ago, and it relates to an email that we got from Raina. And Gregory was talking about you know, the child inside, and, you know, something about Gregory that you may not know is he's incredibly serious and he's incredibly playful at the same time. And so, Raina, a couple of things I wanted to comment on. One was when she got her heart companion, which she just got recently, she put it in her right hand, and it shocked her because she felt like a pinch on her skin. And you know what? That happens to people. There are people who pick these up, and it's like it is speaking to you. And it speaks to you through feelings that we get. And so that is not an uncommon thing. If it's uncomfortable, put it down and then pick it back up again just like you did. And play with it. It is about play. And then she went on to talk about her dream. And in the dream, and I love this. This is so fun. Daniel was in there, and she said that she was there for, and this is the fun part, I was there for a serious presentation that turned into horseplay between Daniel and his brothers. They were laughing and having such a good time and paying no mind to the audience, and then the scene changed to three young boys. How interesting. So going from that place where we enter something sometimes through this seriousness, this, you know, intention or intentness in our mind, and then we go and we find that it's play, it's joy. It takes us back to the joy inside of us and the childish presence of, oh my gosh, what's happening, wanting to play with it. The child inside doesn't really have a problem with making mistakes until the child's been reprimanded. And we've all had that experience. But essentially, the child is discovering through play and through mistakes. They don't even see it as mistakes. They see it as their curiosity just being manifested in play. And so it's wonderful that what you brought up here, and to really see how we are such creative beings, just in the pure play and joy and fun of it all. So, you know, with all the things we talk about, which can be so serious-minded on one hand, it's our opportunity now to go and play with it all.
Yep. So, do we have some questions?
We've got a hand raised with Cindy in Minnesota. And Cindy, hold on, I'm going to unmute you. Okay.
I just wanted to it's a comment. On day 3 and 4, it seems like both of those statements are kind of like the old theorem statements that we used to have to say. If A equals B, B equals C, then A equals C. You know, like, therefore, this essence is my supply, thus my, I like that Greg said that my awareness of the presence of source within me is my supply. On day 3, when we were looking at it, therefore my consciousness is filled with the light of truth. And that's the first time I ever saw us talk about that being the light of truth. But that, again, is what you guys were talking about, that our ego mind, and of course I was writing this down in my ego mind state, is all limiting and trying to make sense out of the words. And when we're dealing with heart companions, you can't make sense out of the words, basically, is what you said today, right? So that basically answers my question. And this morning, I actually raised my hand at 11 o'clock because the music stopped, but I couldn't hear anybody, and I feared that we were on mute and I wasn't hearing what you were saying. So that was why I originally raised my hand today.
Oh, okay. Okay. And did it work okay? This is the first time I'm actually running this. Did the music come off and it was working okay?
Yes, it all worked great. I feared that I was not hearing when people were talking, so that's why I finally raised my hand when I saw the time. So, but yeah, this whole, my ego mind writing down these words and then the rest of my mind trying to understand what's really being said, I was getting very lost in all the consciousnesses of today's printing. So making the consciousness be awareness where it was in that part made that... Those statements make a lot more sense to me.
They do. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the first question that I asked this morning, which was, does consciousness actually evolve, or do we instead evolve into frequencies that give us higher access into source consciousness? The frequencies take us out of our head, you know. They take us back into our heart. They take us into, you know, the way that energy works, like we've talked about, it's pattern. It's not words. Oftentimes, you know, even with our intuition, we'll get, you know, some kind of an inspiration and we'll, you know, I'll hear words, but you know what? First, there's an energy. And then my mind, my brain, my heart, whatever, is interpreting that resonance into something that I can, that becomes intelligible to me through words. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
You know, in the end, I think we just turn more and more of it over to our hearts and allow the hearts to work with what we should be doing, how we should be interacting, and trying to figure it out with our brains gets to be really challenging.
Okay, I see we have another raised hand from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi there.
Hi. My name is Rhea. I actually have a question. I should have asked yesterday, but I just felt uncomfortable. It's in regard to the homework we had by going to the card store.
Yes.
I did do that, and I filled out 2 cards, and I put the I put it in a card with the money. And when I was filling out the card, I was happy about doing that, but when I actually had to go to the store and do it, fear came up for me, like, oh, what if I get caught doing this? What if the people in the store don't like me doing this? And that's what was going through my mind. I did do it, but it didn't leave me with a good feeling. It left me with fear.
isn't it interesting that we can take something where putting money someplace is so out of the ordinary that ego mind can chastise ourselves for it, you know, can and get honest for the strangest things. I mean, think about all the things that we become fearful of in this lifetime. And that really, if you step back and look at it from another perspective, it's like, what? Does this make any sense? You see, that's what we're talking about in all of this. The only part that feels fear is ego mind. You know, the bigger part of yourself, it doesn't know fear. Consciousness, source, is not about fear. It's about love. It's about unity. So wherever fear comes up, it's that small part of ourselves that's poking us, that's trying to limit us, that's trying to stop us in some way. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen, really? That someone that owns the store and comes up and says, you're putting money in my cards? I mean, think about it. If people know they can come into my store and find money in the cards, my God, they're going to come in and buy more cards. You know, it's like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, if another person watches you doing that, they might go, well, this is interesting. You hear about people hiding money in different cities and just putting it there for other people to find. I think in the end, anyone who sits with that kind of scenario is going to go, my God, this is someone that is putting out an effort to give in a way that's anonymous, to give from a heart space. So, Gail, I know you're...
You know, I think I can... I really feel that this is really a tender point with you. And it may have been with other people as well who, you know, who haven't commented. And what I would like to do right now is anyone who's had an experience similar to this, you know, what it says to me is there was a real disconnect. There was a disconnect from source, from spirit, from God, whatever you call it, in that activity. And what's important is to reconnect again. So what I would like you to do is just hold your heart companion. Put your hand over your heart companion at your heart and just breathe and allow yourself to reconnect in that experience. Because it was an experience where you did something that was out of the ordinary, unusual, which, you know, some people might have comments about. And yet, remember what you said. You were really enthusiastic about it before. It was really going to be a fun thing to be an anonymous giver. And there's something really beautiful in your heart that wants to wake up to that. Come back again, you know, to be released from judgments that have been impressed on that part of your nature that is so generous, that is so loving, and so tender. So let yourself just breathe into that. And anyone else who's had a similar experience like that, take a moment with your heart connect to do that. And let yourself come in this moment to the place of acceptance. Acceptance of your generosity, the beautiful being that you are.
It's your connection to source that is your supply. That's where we go for everything. You know, I've been doing sacred geometry, making things for 40 years. It hasn't been well received for a lot of that time, and a lot of people misunderstood what it was I was doing. A lot of people that felt they were very intelligent and scientists that said I didn't have the credentials, or I didn't have the knowledge, or I didn't have the research to prove that what I was doing was real. We have been getting more research, but that's beside the point. The point is to keep going, in the face of all of what the world says is wrong sometimes, because in your heart, the truth is what you are following. And that's that love, and that's the consciousness that then starts touching other people. And that's where this entire exercise is going to open you up through those fears, letting those fears go. See how unreal they are, and see how other parts of your life are constricted in that same way by a fear of doing the wrong thing, or a fear of being caught and being judged, a fear of being something other than what you know you truly are, which is that love inside, which is that consciousness, the awareness of the consciousness with a capital C, and not the awareness, which is the consciousness with a small c, that comes from the ego part of us that's aware of things here in the physical. We're going to a bigger awareness now.
Okay. How does that feel?
That feels really good. I'm glad I had the courage today to ask the question, because it's really helped me very much. Thank you both, Gregory and Gail.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for asking.
And thank you so much for being courageous, and, you know, because it is tender, and to have that love of self to bring that forward, because it's a gift to everyone. So thank you. Is there anyone else who has either a comment or a question? Looks like we've handled all of that. So, okay. So at this point, we will end the call, tell you that we love you dearly, and send you not only our love, but Daniel's love, who's with us in spirit. And tomorrow, Daniel may be with us, or if he's, you know, involved with his program and can't make it, then we'll be running the call again. So have a beautiful day. And we send you our deep love and namaste.
Blessings. Namaste.
Namaste. We love you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you.